you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to The Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.
All right. The main character in our text, young people, as I said a few moments ago, is Timothy. That's what we're going to deal with today. There are a lot of wonderful things that are noteworthy about Timothy's life. But on this morning, my assignment is to deal with two traits that Timothy had, especially when you consider youth and young adults. Very significant attributes or traits that Timothy had. The first trait that I want to discuss is Timothy's relationship with Paul. Timothy's relationship. Now, when you study and read about Timothy in Scripture, they were not related by blood. They were not kinfolk. In Acts 16, when Timothy came on the scene and met Paul, listen, young folk, he was first a disciple. Timothy had given his life to the Lord. He was a follower of Christ. He was a learner. And likewise, young folk, as young people in God, we need to make sure we learn. Every time we come to church, we need to make sure that we are acquiring, receiving knowledge and understanding. Don't just come to church just to come, especially if the church that you're going to is God's church, because every church is not God's church. But when you know that you are coming to an official house of God, you need to make sure that, like Timothy, you are learning. You're receiving something in the message, and you're holding on to it. Why, Pastor? Because if we hold on to the word or hide the word in our heart, we won't sin against God. When you leave here, you're going to be better. No matter what environment you are in, if you're holding on to the word, David said, hiding the word in the heart will help us not to sin against God. So make sure you're learning. But then as you continue to read in Acts, you see that Timothy went from disciple to minister. Over in Acts 22, Paul talks about then how Timothy began to minister to folk. So he went from disciple, and some years passed, then he became minister. And then some more years passed, and now Timothy is being chosen by God to be a pastor. Y'all see? Disciple, minister, pastor. What do I want young people to understand about Timothy as a young man or a young woman? It is important to make sure that you grow. You need to make sure that you are the type of young person, the type of young adult that you're maturing in life. You want to make sure that you are not always childish. See, right now you're young and you're expected to be childish. But as you grow, you need to make sure that you're putting away childish things. Every year, young folk, you want to be improving in life. Matter of fact, every month, you want to be able to examine yourself and say, man, am I getting better? You don't ever want to be the type of young person that's getting worse. Matter of fact, that's just stupid to be coming to God's house and you getting worse. No, you should have the determination as an individual, I'm going to get better and better and better. As an athlete, you should want to get help me better and better. In your studies, you should want to get better and better. In your attitude, you should want to get better and better. Growth in every aspect. Productivity. With your money, you should want to get better. How you respect folk, you should get better. How you deal with your haters, folk that don't like you. You shouldn't always just cuss folk out. You should get better and better. You should learn how to ignore petty folk. You should learn how to just be like, hey, they ain't growing, they childish. I'm not gonna let you pull me down to your level. Oh, you just trying to be deep. No, I don't wanna be like you, shallow. So you have to be to the point to where you have the mindset, I'm growing in God. You don't want to be like some grown folk. They in their 40s and 50s, but they still on that dumb stuff. They still acting childish. You want to be the type of young person that's ahead of your days. You're mature. Now, you're going to make mistakes. Nobody's saying be flawless, but grow. Get better. And one way you get better, young folk, you have to watch folk you hang around. Because evil company corrupts good habits. I believe that's 1 Corinthians 14, somewhere in there, but bottom line, it's in there. So you need to make sure you watch out who you hang with. Because you can have the intentions of being better, but your peers, they may not want to do that. Y'all understand? Always strive to get better. As a husband, I'm striving to get better. I want my love for my wife to get better and better. As a father, I want to get better and better. Pastor, better and better. But likewise, like Timothy, you need to be the same way. Look at somebody say, that's a good teaching. Yeah, that's a good teaching. Second thing about Timothy that's very important that we deal with this morning, young people, is Timothy's name. In the Bible, names are very important. Yeah, it's not like in our day and time, people are just, ooh, we're going to name her Keisha. Yeah, we going to name her Mercedes. You know, I love Kobe. We're going to name him Kobe. No, no, no. In the Bible, names represented people's character. In the Bible, names often represented different events that took place. Bottom line, names in scripture had purpose. So one day when you start having children, when you get married and you start having a family, you make sure you seek God and name your child with purpose. Okay? Name your child with purpose because that's the Bible way. Names carry purpose. All right? Now, Timothy's name means to honor God. That was the meaning of his name, to honor God. And so when you look at Timothy's lifestyle in scripture, he lived up to his name. It's just like here at a place of refuge, God has deemed young people to be trendsetters. I didn't just come up with this name. I asked the Lord because at the time when I was coming into youth ministry, I noticed, you know, youth ministries, they usually have a name, you know. And so I was like, Lord, what should I name or what should we be our identity? And years went by because I wanted to make sure I heard from the Lord. And the Lord told me, trendsetters. And it came through revelation, through bishop preaching one day, through a message that God revealed to the man of God. Because how many know God will give us shepherds according to his heart? And so I knew. I said, oh, that's it. God, you want us to be trendsetters. I said, that's. Then I went to the scripture and I found how God wants us to be a light. I found how God wants us to be examples. Baker, young folk that come through Refuge, they are going to be trendsetters. So this ain't no name we just came up with. This is something that came from the Lord. But again, Timothy lived up to his name. And likewise, we need to live up to our godly name. Look at somebody say, live up to your godly identity. Timothy honored God. He lived up to his name. Likewise, we need to live up to our godly identity. We need to be trendsetters. But that's another message. We're talking about Timothy today. What Timothy name mean to? Honor God. To honor God. To honor has a number of meanings, but I just want to give you just a few this morning to learn and meditate on in the days ahead. Number one, when a person honors God, they respect God. Yeah, they respect God. Number two, they fear God. And number three, a person that honors God worships God. When you honor God, when I honor God, nobody is on the same level that he is. He first. Nobody's on that level. Love my wife, but she ain't on that level. Love my pastor, but pastor not on that level. God is on a level all by him, by himself. Now, we can be attached to God, and so I should respect my wife, right? I should respect my pastor, right? Yeah, because they're attached to God. Anything attached to God, I should show honor. Yeah, I should honor God. When he blessed me with money, I respect him. I give him what he said, his tithe, and I bring him offering. I respect him. I pray every day. Why? I respect him. Even when I'm going through in my body, I can pray in the bed. If I'm getting up running late, guess what? I can pray in the car. You know what? When I'm in the shower, I can pray in the shower. Why? I honor God. I respect him. I fear him. Woo! Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it. Fear, respect, worship, they synonymous. But there is a part of me, I fear God. And I'm talking about, like, I don't want to fall into the hands of an angry or living God. When I read scripture and I see how God can do folks, cities, and countries, no, I ain't playing with God. I ain't got time to play with God. When I read scriptures like no one can kill, a man can kill a person, but God can kill a person and put him in hell. Oh, no, I fear God. I said I fear God more than man. Ooh, look how y'all looking at me. I don't know how you feel about it. I fear God. You think I'm going to play with God, folk? Oh, no, I fear God. You think I'm going to get up here and play church and you belong to God? No, I ain't got time for that. No, we can look at Saul's life and see how he played with God, and he lost everything. And shortly thereafter, he died and his family died. No, I ain't got time to play with God. Look at somebody and say, don't play with God. But to honor him also means to worship. Yeah. You're devoted to God. You're committed to God. You're so devoted, you allow your God to affect how you think, how you talk, and how you act. And see, when it comes to being a true worshiper, the Bible says, young people, that's what the Lord is looking for. In John 4, around the 20th verse and following, it talks about how the Lord is looking for true worshipers to worship him. And folk that's going to worship him that are true, they're going to do so in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? In spirit, with the right attitude, with the right mindset. You just ain't going to clap. No, you're going to clap with everything you have. You're going to give God your best. You have the right spirit. If you're going to bring him an offering, you understand I got to bring it with the right attitude because God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, you got the right attitude. Hurting in my body, but I'm still going to pray. Mad at my spouse, but I'm still going to talk to her and forgive her. Why? I'm a true worshiper. Y'all follow me? And so what does it mean to honor? Three things. It means to respect. Come on. To fear and to worship. Let's go a little bit further and deal with this honor, because again, we're talking about Timothy. Okay? And so Timothy honored God. Likewise, we need to honor God. In our young age, as young adults, we need to be honorable. Let's start in Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Y'all still with me? I can tell y'all are. All right. Matthew 15, and notice verse number 8. Matthew 15 and 8. Ready? Y'all read with me. This is something Jesus said. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, if we're going to honor God, young folk, it need to come from our heart. It need to be real. God don't want us capping on him. He want us to honor him with all of our heart. Look at somebody and say, no cap. Yeah, don't lie. Just honor God with all your heart. Don't play with it. If you're going to love God, go ahead and love him right. Don't love him or honor him with a part-time heart. He wants us to trust him with all of our heart. He wants us to love him and worship him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, not just with our mouth. And see, that's what these folk were doing in scripture. They talk big talk. They were talking about how much they honored God, they love God, and this, that, and the third, but the Lord said, look at how they act. Look at their actions. And see, the Bible says, man, they move by what a person say. Man looks at the outward appearance or sight. But the Bible says God looks at the heart. Are you honoring God with that boyfriend or girlfriend? Are you honoring God? Are you honoring God with what you do on your phone? Are you? You have to ask yourself that, because it's easy to say one thing. But remember, God looking at the heart. Now, you say you love your wife, Baker. You love your wife and you treat her like that. Is that honoring me? Now, mama told you do one thing, but when she gone, you doing the total opposite. Now, I told you to honor your mother and your father. And then I told you, if you do that, it'll be well with you. But when you on that creep and sneaking, you got to ask yourself, am I honoring God? Am I honoring God? Is this music honoring God? Is this music honoring God? Now, I say I love the Lord, and I'm Christian, and I say I got the Holy Ghost, but this right here, is this honoring God? When you watch the Super Bowl halftime show today, you got to ask yourself, is what they saying, is that honoring God? Is that honoring God? Now, they on the largest stage in the world. But you have to ask yourself, is what they saying and doing honoring? Tonight, when you watch it, I want you to sit there with that mindset and just ask yourself, it sounds good, but is it honoring God? Is that honoring God? Woo! Look at somebody and say, that's a good question. That's a good question right there. You have to ask yourself certain shows that the Holy Ghost tell you, you know you don't need to be watching this. Holy Ghost tell you, you go on fast forward through that scene. Y'all know he'll guide you into how much truth. All truth. When you get mad at somebody, before you give a response, sometimes you have to ask yourself, ooh, I want to say something, but that may not honor God. I'll never forget. I learned that back when we first got married, me and my wife, we had this big argument. It was one of our first big arguments. And y'all know I'm the vocal one, right? Well, if you didn't know, I'm the vocal one in the relationship. And so, you know, some arguments, I can argue a little bit better. And so I went off on y'all first lady. Ooh, I went off real good. Slammed the door and left the house and went outside and cut the grass. I'm out there cutting the grass. Holy Ghost said, you know you wrong. I said, yeah, I doubt. You need to go back in there and get that right. I wasn't honoring God. How many know we can be angry, but do not? I was wrong, and I went back in there, and she was just sitting there, and I had to get it right. Why? I wanted to honor God. Y'all hear me? Look at somebody and say, we got to honor God. And it comes from where? The heart. All right, let's go further. Let's go to John. Because real recognize real, right? You can tell when somebody means something, right? Do y'all think God is the same way? Yeah, God the same way. He can tell when a person is honoring him from their heart or when they just doing something. That's why it be vexing God when some of us God been good to, and you play sports, you got time to go to work, you do all this other stuff, then come to God's house and it's time to praise and honor him. You think God be like, No, we got to make sure it coming from our heart. Now you're mad. It's all right. All right. John 8:49. Y'all still gonna read with me? Okay. We still talking about traits of honoring. John 8:49. And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. These folk thought Jesus had a demon in him. He says, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Jesus was doing the will of God, teaching these folk, and they said, man, you got a demon in you. He said, no, what I'm doing is honoring my Father. I'm doing God's will. What do I want us to learn, young people? Sometimes you got to explain to folk why you do what you do. You got to explain to folk, look, I don't go to the club because I'm honoring God with my life. Look, I'm not going to smoke with you like I used to. I'm honoring God with my body. Look, you fine, but I can't do what we used to do. I'm going to strive to honor God now. You have to explain to folk, because folk will question, why are you doing what you're doing? Tell them. Tell them, young folk. Be a witness. Tell them the whole truth. I used to do that, but I don't do it no more. I'm trying to honor my God. Why you don't come hang around us no more? Man, I'm trying to tighten up. I'm trying to honor God. Y'all know we be on that dumb stuff. I'm trying to do better. When you know better, young folk, you should strive to do better. Now I'm lost half my audience. Look at somebody and say, tell folk. Yeah, be bold with it. Just don't go along with folk just because you done known them for 8 years. You ain't got to go along with them. Just because you like somebody, that don't mean you got to do what they want you to do. You let folk know, I'm not doing that. That's what you have to do. You save, right? If you are the light, then you shine your light in a dark place. You let folk know on that team, I'm girl. I like boys. I'm not going along with y'all. Now, if you like to do that thing, I don't do that thing. That's you. But I know who God has made me to be. You got to tell folk. You got to be bold with it. Sometimes you got to get on folk's last nerve. But you just let them know. And when you look in scripture, that's what you see young folk doing. Grown folk doing. Letting folk know. I don't play that. We ain't bowing down to no other God. You want me to bow down to a golden image? Well, look, throw me in the fire. But know this. We going to honor God. We're not going to bow down to your golden image. Joseph was a handsome man, the Bible said, a wealthy man. He had women pulling on him. He had them high value women wanting him. But he had to tell them, look, why should I lay with you and sin against my God? Why? Look at somebody say, ask for questions. When they say, baby, take that off. Let me see a little bit. Why? Why? Because you so fine. I know this. You just ask for questions. You going to take me out this week? Why? Why you want to take me out by myself after 10 o'clock? You know nothing good go down at night. Why? Sit by me on the bus. Why? Why I can't sit right up here in the front by everybody? Why you want me coming to back? Look at somebody and say, ask folk questions. Yeah. You got to call folk to the table. Let them know, look, I don't do that. Y'all looking at me like I'm from another planet. Y'all looking at me like I am from Mars or something. But you got to represent. You and I, look at somebody and say, we got to represent. That's right. You got to represent. And sometimes, young folk, you have to tell folk why you do what you do. Yeah. Come on, dance with me. Do the thing. Do the thing. No, don't do that. Why? No, I dance for the Lord. But No. Look at somebody and say, you got to tell folk. Don't you know the Bible says that if we are ashamed of the Lord, there'll come a time where he'll be ashamed of you. But they may not be my friend. Well, then they weren't your friend anyway. Sometimes, young folk, you have to explain to folk why you believe what you believe. And when you and I do stuff like that, that's honoring God. Right? In our text, Paul writes to Timothy and reveals something that he knows about him. Paul's own pastor, he writes to him, I know something about you, Timothy. And let me say this before I deal with what he said. Mature people and people in your life that really love you, they know you. Yes, that's right. That's right. Mature folk and people that really love you, they know you. And see, sometimes young folk have a tendency to gravitate to folk that really don't know you. You listen to folk that really don't care about you. You go along sometime with folk that really don't have your best interests at heart. And so, young people, you have to be able to discern in life who is with you and who is against you. Who really knows you and who really don't know you. You can't say just because you go to school with somebody that they really know you. Or you got a class with somebody, they know you. No, just because you're on the team with somebody, they don't really know you. A real shepherd knows the sheep. A real parent knows their child. A real sibling should know their brother or their sister. Are y'all with me? So you just don't be the type of young person that does what everybody wants them to do just because you've known them for a quick, hot minute. No, you got to remember who really has your best interest in mind. And see, that's how Paul was with Timothy. Y'all still with me? He said, I know you. Matter of fact, he knew his grandmother and his mother. And he knew their spirit. And he says, one thing I know about you, Timothy, from my time being with you, is you got genuine faith in you. You got genuine faith. Lord have mercy. I could see Paul probably writing this with just a tender heart, you know, with love, because he was in prison. He writing to Timothy, man, you You got genuine faith. In other words, he was saying, Timothy, I know you sincere. I know you love the Lord. I know you striving to live by the written and the revealed word of God. Bottom line, Timothy, you real. You ain't fake. And he's not saying that Timothy was flawless or without mistakes or perfect. But he was saying, Timothy, I know that you're real. And see, that's how we need to be. God need to know that you're real about living for him. Not just God, other folk. Your pastor, your parents, your spouse, they need to know you're real. You got genuine faith in you. You are not playing. You are actually saved. You're for real. You need to know that about yourself. Am I a genuine faith walker? Am I real with this thing? Or am I just playing around? We got to be able to do that, young folk. We need to be able to be like Timothy was, have genuine faith in us. You got to ask yourself, do I come to church because I want to? Or do I come to church because I'm made to? Am I genuine? Do I pray on my own, or do I still have to be reminded to pray? Am I genuine? Am I clapping, dancing, and so forth just because the preacher or the praise team told me to do it? Or is this really in me? Do I find more joy dancing to NBA Youngboy? Or whoever the latest artist is, do I find more pleasure in that than giving my own God the praise? Am I real? Am I genuine? Or am I just talking that young faith walkers? I'm just young faith walkers, that's the thing. Or am I really striving to be that? We have to ask ourselves that question from time to time. Yes, yes. So let's look at it. Because we have some here. Yeah. Yes, we do. And we need some more. Yes, yes, yes. I said we have some here and we need some more. And then you have some, look, you know it's right to be who God wants you to be. You just haven't fully committed the way you should in certain areas. But look at somebody and say, you got to be all in. That's it. You got to be all in. You can't be in between. You can't straddle the fence. Either you is or you ain't. It's kind of tight right there, ain't it? Yeah. It's tight, right? Yeah. All right, let's look at some traits of a genuine faith walker. Because this is what Paul recognized was in Timothy. And as young men and young women, we need to have this in us also so we can be considered genuine faith walkers. Right? Yeah. Somebody shout, he right. All right, let's go 2 Timothy 3. And 15. 2 Timothy 3 and 15. Come to help this morning. Come to be a strength this morning. All right. 2 Timothy 3 and 15. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy again. And again, we're looking at traits of a genuine faith walker, somebody who's really striving to be a faith walker, right? All right. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15. and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What is it that made Timothy genuine, young folk? In this verse, he knew the Scriptures. He not only knew the Scripture, but he behaved wisely. That's what make a person genuine or real. When they know what to do, and then they turn around and do it. But look at the text. How long this man been doing it? Since he was a what? A child. Since he was a child, Timothy been receiving the word. Because the Bible said he knew the Holy Scripture. So that means that the word was coming forth and he wasn't rejecting it. He was receiving it. He knew the word. But then his pastor, Paul, said, look, them scriptures have made you wise. You've been putting the word into action. You ain't just been a hearer of the word. You've been a doer. And see, young folk, if we're going to be genuine faith walkers, we got to do the same thing on a consistent basis. We hear the word and behave wisely. We hear the word and put it into action. Something you hear in the message today, it was good to you. You was like, that was for me. But then you leave here putting it into, put it into action. And you don't let yourself or anybody else stop you from behaving wisely. You heard that word. You didn't reject it. No, you received it. Now you're doing it. It's becoming a part of you. That's what makes a person real. Even when that truth step on your toes, it make you mad. You real when you put it into action. Man, mad at the preacher, but doing the word. Still coming to church. That's how we have to be. Look at somebody and say, just be real. Yeah. And some of us, we do it, but then we stop. You got to keep doing it. It has to be a consistent progression, young folk. Constantly hearing the word and behaving how? Wisely. Did y'all fall off or y'all still with me? All right. He knew the scripture. He knew the word since he was a child. Divine knowledge. That's what he was getting. Coming to church, getting what God wanted him to have. Wisdom is when a person put in action knowledge. That's what wisdom is. You put in action what you know, right? Okay. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's look at somebody besides Timothy. Y'all flow with me. 1 Samuel, hurry up. Turn. 1 Samuel 18. All right. Let's look at somebody else who had this same spirit in the Old Testament. This young man, familiar character. 1 Samuel 18. Named David. That's your boy? She said, not my boy. David, 1 Samuel 18:14. Y'all read this with me. When I drop it, pick it up. And David behaved how? Wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Even when David messed up, he behaved wisely. He got it right. We see David was messy sometime. David messed up, right? But he behaved wisely. He quickly got it right. That's how we have to be, young people, in all our ways. When the Lord teach us how to handle money, he give us knowledge, we behave wisely. We change. We start handling our money based upon how God has taught us. When God show us how to be confident in ourselves, and we've been lacking self-confidence, we receive that, and we behave wisely. We start doing in all of our ways. When the Lord show us things in Scripture about sex, our body, and so forth, we receive it, Even though our bodies may want to do something else and we behave wisely, we put it into action. That's when you real, young folk. That's when you are genuine, right? Oh, Lord. It's going to get a little bit more touchy. Y'all might as well come on. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. So if I'm genuine, what am I going to do first? I'm going to know the word and behave what? Wisely. Going to pay attention to what's being taught, and I'm going to put it into action. You real then. You real. You keeping it 66. We don't keep it 100. We keep it 66. That's Bible. All right. How many books in the Bible? That's what that means. Okay, let's move on. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10. Now, this one right here, a lot of folk don't like, but it's scripture. And y'all know I'm going to keep it Bible, right? Timothy was genuine because he knew the word and behaved wisely. He acted like he had been taught. But here in 1 Corinthians 16 and 10 is another trait. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without, help me, fear. This is it. For he does the work of the Lord, look at this, as I also do. Boy, that's powerful. Timothy was a genuine faith walker because he imitated his pastor's example. He had to tell the Corinthian church, y'all receive Timothy in the work of the ministry because he gonna do it just the way I would do it. He imitates me. He follows my pattern. This is so important, young people, because when people in the world or religious folk tell you that they love the Lord, they honor the Lord, and they say most religious folk and folk that just ain't saved, but they say they Christian, they imitate the wrong people. They imitate the wrong people. And see, if you are really Christian, you got to know who you should imitate and who you should not imitate. God has already set it up in his church. He knew people would imitate. Bottom line, we're going to copy somebody. In the church, outside, you and I, we gonna follow somebody's example. Most young folk, and I was guilty when I was your age, we are taught by the world to imitate what's wrong, to imitate evil, idolize folk that don't love God. Put their posters. We used to have posters. We put them on the wall. Now you got phones. You can put the wallpaper on your phone. Same thing, different technique. Same thing. We had paper posters. Now you got digital posters. And so we was taught to imitate. We would dress like folk that didn't love God. We would talk like folk that didn't love God. We would dance like folk that didn't love God. But God set it up for his folk. You got to know who you should imitate and who you shouldn't. And Timothy, as a young man, he understood, I got to imitate my pastor as long as pastor's following Christ. Woo, now y'all acting funny. Look at somebody say, beware of who you imitate. You got to beware. You imitate a fool, guess what you're going to be? A fool. If you follow a blind person, you and that blind person going to end up in the ditch. So you have to be careful who you follow, who you pattern your life after. Don't pattern your life after no R&B singer just because she can sing good. If she ain't saved, she just fine and can sing good. You don't pattern your life after that. You don't pattern your life after no rapper that down talks about women, black women, all they got is black women, white women, Asian women shaking their tail in their video. Why would you want to imitate that? Why would you want to imitate somebody that got tattoos from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet? Don't even look human. Don't even look human. Their body is just totally mutilated. Why would you want to imitate somebody that's nasty? Why would you want to do that? The Bible says people do it because they love evil and their works are in darkness. That's the only reason you would imitate somebody like that is because you love evil. Why would you want to imitate a rapper to say they'll kill everybody and then smoke them? We smoking on this. We smoking on them. Yeah, I killed your ops. Why would you want to imitate somebody like that? Why? 12 kids by 8 different baby mamas. Why would you want to imitate that? Why would you want to imitate a celebrity that sell liquor, weed, edibles, got porn, they sing worldly, they sing gospel? Why would you want to imitate that? That's evil. That's what Snoop do. Snoop sing gospel. He sing worldly. He smoke weed. He used to sell porn. Look it up. Why would we want to imitate somebody like that? Why? Lizzie need to put on some clothes. Why would you want to imitate? Look, love yourself, but don't show everybody. Why would you want to do that? I'm free. Be free with some clothes on. Lizzo, whatever her name is. Y'all know who I'm talking about. This is Bible, young folk. We have to imitate the right people. And Timothy was so real, young folk, and Paul knew it. He do just like I do. Now, you be your own person, your own personality, because it's one of you. But you should have the person that you're following, or you will have their spirit. If you really imitate your pastor, you're going to have your pastor's spirit. But if you imitate the world, you're going to have a worldly spirit. Bottom line, ain't no way around it. Ain't no way around it. You're going to have the spirit of whoever you follow. Boy, this is good teaching. Look at somebody say, watch out who you imitate. Yeah. You are and I am an image of who we follow. When you look at me, you should be able to tell who I'm following. When I look at you, I can tell who you follow, based upon how you think, talk, and act. Write this verse down. I want you to make sure. Some preachers say if you don't get anything else, get this. I'm going to say it like this. Make sure you get this. Whatever else you're getting, please get this right here. 3 John 11. It's only one chapter. 3 John chapter 1, verse 11. Y'all read this with some power with me. Beloved. Beloved lets us know he's talking to church folk. Right? Y'all still in the house? Yes. Beloved, do not imitate. Y'all on it today. What is evil? Let's try that again. Do not imitate what is evil, sinful, wicked, not of God, but what is good. He who does good is of God, and good has to do with the word, but he who does evil has not seen God, don't know God. Don't imitate evil, young folk. Don't imitate evil. Imitate the people that God has ordained for you to imitate. God ordained the church to imitate the shepherd as long as the shepherd is following Christ. And that's 1 Corinthians, I got it right here, 11:1. Don't imitate what's evil, young folk. Be a trendsetter. Be different. Be different. Be who God wants you to be. See, when you like that, you genuine. You a genuine faith walker. I pull my pants up. I'm a man. Yeah, you ain't got no business seeing the crack of my back. No, you ain't got to see it. Yeah, but that's what young men in the world do. No, if you a genuine faith walker, you're going to look like a young man of God. Yeah. And you should be the young woman. When you see a young man like that, you should be like, oh, he need to grow up. You need to have that mindset. That's a boy right there. That's a child doing what everybody else doing. Woo! Woo! That's tight right there. That's tight. That's tight. That's tight. But we're talking about being genuine, right? I don't want nothing fake. From my clothes to my jewelry, I don't want nothing fake. Nothing fake. I don't want my wife to have on nothing fake. And we should have the same what? Mindset. We want the real thing. I said we should want the real thing. So we have to watch who we imitate. This type of teaching don't get a lot of hand claps. It's all right. It's all right. And you may not come back. Look at somebody. It's all right. It's all right. But the truth, the Bible says, will make us. It'll make us free. Acts 17, last verse. Truth will make us free. You'll always remember it was a lanky preacher down in Carrollton that told me the truth. Okay. Acts 17:15, last verse, and we're going to be done. I love this verse. I love all of them we talked about today, but I like this one too. Y'all ready? So those who conducted Paul brought him to, help me, Athens. Boy, y'all reading like y'all mad. Let's try that. Where they bring him to? Athens. And receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to do what? Come to him with all speed. That was the instruction. Come on over here and hurry up. What did they do? They departed. Timothy heard from his pastor, and he obeyed him. Good God Almighty. He heard instructions, and he obeyed them. That's what real folk in the faith do. They obey God. They obey God. If the Lord tell the pastor indirectly, tell preachers, look, I need you to receive the offer in 5 minutes. Guess what they do? They obey. They obey. 5 minutes. God use your parents. Say, you can go out, but be home at 1 o'clock. Even though you want to be home at 3 o'clock. You real. All right, mama, I'll be home at 1 o'clock. Yeah, you come home, be mad, but at least you obey. Obey God, young folk. That's what real folk do. God said, bring him his tithe, his offering. Guess what we do? Bring him his tithe and offering. We obey. We real. We keep it real. We just obey. We comply. We follow through. When it's time to forgive folk, I ain't like what they did. They made me mad. I'm feeling some kind of way. Well, get over yourself. Forgive them. Forgive them so God can forgive you. See, we have to obey God, the Bible says, by faith. And some things, young folk, God want us to do, it can be a little challenging. Some things God require us to do, we don't want to do. But when you real, you're going to just obey, obey God. Boy, look at Abram, who we know is Abraham. His name was later changed. God told him to bring him his firstborn son from his wife as a sacrifice. Kill your son. Bring them up to a mountain that I'm going to show you, and I want you to sacrifice them. That was the instructions. Abraham was real. He got his son Isaac, come on, let's go. And they went to the mountain that God told him. Now, this is what the Bible says. This is what was a trip, young folk. Along the journey, Isaac looked at his daddy. He said, where we going? I see the wood, and I see the fire. What you finna do? Because, see, Isaac knew how and what sacrificing was. So he was like, what we finna go do? You know, in his mind, as a father, he was like, Lord, have mercy. But he told him, we're going to worship the Lord. Going to worship the Lord. My question is, how did he get Isaac to lay down? How did he get him to lay down so he could just, that's what I want to know. But he got him in position, drew the knife, and right before he was getting ready to obey God, God stopped him. And he said, now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you obey me. Now I know that you love me. Look over in that bush, and it's a ram right there. You know I ain't gonna let you do that. But now I know. Now I know. See, oftentimes, young folk, God will try our heart. What we go through, James said, it's just the trying of our faith. And see, wherever you are right now in your marriage, in school, your personal life, you got to understand, God oftentimes want to see, you going to obey him? You going to praise him even though your body racked with pain? You going to keep coming to church? You going to obey me even though your doctor said this, that, and the third? I need to know if you're going to obey me. I need to know. And he'll do it for young folk. We talked about the Hebrew boys earlier. You know God had to see if they was true worshipers. I wonder if he liked this fire seven times more, if they gonna do like some of them other kids and just bow down. But they was just like, look, hey, throw us in now. They was determined to obey God. They was real. That's how we have to be, young folk. We have to be genuine faith walkers. Whatever God put on the table, we should obey him. See, if we willing and obedient, it's a blessing in the end for us. So look past whatever it is that got you feeling some kind of way and look at it. Lord, if I obey you, it's a blessing in this. If I do what you telling me to do, it's a blessing in this. That's got to be our mindset. Remember, sight is temporary. So just don't look at what you can see and feel. If he telling you leave somebody alone, you have to look at it. Man, but I really like them. They good people, at least as far as I can see. You have to remember, it's a blessing if I obey God. Leave them alone now may mean come back and be with them later. But if the instructions right now is to separate, then do it. I went through that. I had a real tight friend. And I'll never forget, it scared me so much. I was praying one day, young folk, and God told me, leave this young man alone. But I was like, but we go, you know, we do this, we tight. Leave him alone, and he didn't tell me nothing else. So I started drawing back. A few months went by, and it was revealed why the Lord told me to leave him alone. See, we don't know everything. The Bible says we know in part. We only gonna know what God want us to know. So we have to put our faith into action. Just obey God. God tell you to stay somewhere that you want to leave. Look, you stay there. Obey God. God tell you to leave somewhere you want to stay. Just obey God. God tell you to don't touch something that you want to touch. Just obey God. Obedience is better in sacrifice. Obedience requires something in my clothes. Y'all still with me? Y'all still learning? All right, Philippians 2. We talking about obeying God. That helps us to just be real with God. Be genuine faith walkers. This is what it's going to take for us to be obedient. Philippians 2 and 8. And I'm done. Lord have mercy. Look at this verse right here. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, talking about Jesus, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient. Y'all didn't read that right. What did Jesus do? He humbled himself and became what? Obedient. Look at this. To the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Jesus knew the cross was waiting on him. There was a lot of pain waiting on him. A lot of hurt waiting on him. But he knew that was the will of God for him. And so in order for him to be obedient, what did he have to do? He had to humble himself. And see, young people, in life, when you struggle to obey what God has told you to do, that's a sign of pride. That's a sign of you wanting to do and have it your way. But in order to keep it real and be genuine with God, in order to obey God, we all have to humble ourselves, get low. What did Jesus say when he could have did his thing? He said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I want to smash, Lord. Lord, we got time. She willing. She ready. Oh, Lord, I want to smash. I mean, that just sound painful. That don't even sound like make love. I want to smash. I want to just hurt this girl. Isn't that something? But you have to be to the point where you say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will. Not my will. Lord, it's my will, but not my will. You have to be like that. You just being genuine. Lord, help me. You got to help me. Lord, I want to do this particular thing. I'm in my 20s now. I'm grown now. It's legal now. Not my will, Lord. I'm just going to humble myself. It's going to hurt to go without sex. It's going to hurt to go without porn. It's going to hurt to go without my friend's approval. It's going to hurt. Remember, the text says, even unto the cross. Did the cross hurt? Did the cross hurt, young folk? If you're not sure, let me get some stakes and just get a hammer and nail you to something. Let me get a thorn. Some thorns that's over 3 inches long and put it on your head to where it just ain't gonna scratch you, but it's gonna penetrate your skull. Let me get a whip with some hooks on there and just beat you 39 times. Did the cross hurt, young folk? But what did Jesus do? He humbled himself. And see, it's gonna be things in life. This is some good teaching. It's gonna be some things in life that you want and you feel that you can't do it out. But you and I have to humble ourselves. Just obey God. See, when you do that, folk in public may not know it. But God be looking at you. You genuine. You real. You real. You could have did it. And if some of you in here, you done had them could have did it moments. Yeah, you done had could have did it moments. But always remember, the God who saw you in the dark, he's the God that rewards you before everybody else. See, some folk don't know how you got what you got. It's because you obey God. And the things that God is going to do for you, young folk, the only way you're going to get it is if you obey God. Just be genuine. When he tell you to give a certain way, even though you young, you better obey God. That means he got some windows he want to open up while you are young. That's how we have to look at it. It's going to be pain in it. But you look beyond the pain and you look at that promise. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. We look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Obey God, young folk. Obey God. When you obey God in your life, you're being a genuine faith walker. God tell you to do a particular thing. Get in a particular ministry. Do something at your local church. Don't consider everybody else. Just obey God. Right? I got some more, but I'm going to stop right there. Look at somebody and say, be a genuine faith walker. Let's give God a hand clap for the teaching on this morning.
Yeah. You say you're searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all want to live. This the way to go. The show. 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 This the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.